Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. We're all good. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, November 16th of 2020. And I must apologize for the noise. We are driving. I went to my mom's over the weekend, and we made the mistake of forgetting the luggage at my mom's, so we had to come down to the Flint area to get it, and so we are now in the process of driving back. I just have made some Sonic, the home of the supersonic cheeseburger and other great things, a lot of great, really good stuff. They have deep fried Oreos. They have really good corn dogs that I enjoy. They have they're one of the places where you can have a choice of tater tots or fries, in which case I always choose the tater tots. Right. And pretty much everywhere has french fries, and only a few have tater tots. And tater tots are so crispy. Yeah, and if you're going to eat the fried stuff, you always will have it be nice and crispy, the way I look at it. Because if you're going to eat the fried stuff and it's not really all that crispy, then it's like, not really worth it, you know? Yeah. That's what I'm like. And these are not, like, if they're soggy, if they're too soggy, it almost makes them taste, if they're too soggy, it almost makes them taste baked. Oh, boy. Snowing. No!
But it melts as soon as it hits the
I know it, but still, usually, listeners, we don't want that snow stuff to be coming until after Thanksgiving. But
I don't mind snow on Thanksgiving.
That's fair game. That's fair game. But keep in mind that on Thanksgiving, for our family, that's usually a drive day. Because we spend a part of the day driving, usually to my grandpa's. And we don't want, obviously, you know, 4, 5, 6 inches of snow coming down on the day that we have to drive from Midland up to Cadillac, and then down to Detroit. But it's so glad to be with you, listeners. And we're going to continue on with Revelation the next couple nights, and then as long as it takes, but keep in mind, the last 1 to 2 nights prior to Thanksgiving, I'll be taking time to deal with, you know, the first Thanksgiving and also teaching on giving thanks and how important it is, listeners, that we are grateful, that we're thankful to God. We'll be singing some songs about thanking God for what he's done, and as we get to that time. And I know a lot of your a lot of governors of certain states, like Michigan, California, Oregon, Washington State. I say Michigan first because this is my home state here, but a lot of these states Not really as much down south, but a lot of these northern states, not all, but many, they're trying to say, like, you really shouldn't do Thanksgiving. When and to me, I say, all I'm going to tell you about that is be wise, be cautious. If your family decides to do it and you don't feel well, don't go. It's as simple as that. And, you know, make sure you do. If the mask makes you feel a little bit better when you're around people, it's not necessarily a fair thing, but if you did, I hope, listeners, that as you wear the mask, if you wear it, it's not because of fear. I mean, if it helps you feel better when you're around people, you can wear it. If not, then it's up to you. But if the weather's nice enough to do it outside, that'd be a good idea. And some things like that. I've heard about a good virus spray. I don't know what it's called, but it's supposed to be really good. The guy who does the stand, that Rodney Brown, he now uses it on the field at the stand. And they have, like, there's companies supposed to have containers that you can get, like, in your house. That's all I'm going to say about it. I don't know what it's called. I haven't used it. But it could be a good thing. But on top of it, there can be a 90-day thing that kind of comes with it. So, like, you could spray it down, like, on your tables or what have you, and it can really help. It doesn't have these harmful chemicals in it, but if you had something like that, you know, that could help. So that just saying, if you're going to do it, be wise. You can't let fear rule your life. You can't. You can't. And right now we got states, mine included, that are either going back to stay-home protocol or they're just closing down certain segments of the economy. Like this state, in a couple days, you start where the restaurants and bars will be back to takeout only and or outside dining. But outside dining, unless you got a nice day, it's going to be so difficult to do. And there's always those heaters, but you can only have so many. You can only have so many. And these igloos, there's only so many igloos. There's a place by my mom's house that has these igloos outside.
Have they built them?
Yes. They've been around, like, the last couple few winters. I actually had dinner in one last year over there at Honcho's Mexican, down there in downtown Clarkston, and it's actually pretty cool. And it's nice and warm in the igloos, too. And I wish they'd put more of them at more of these places, especially now. They wouldn't be such an idea. That'd be such a bad idea. I mean, or if they made mini ones, or a good family-sized one, depending on how you want to do it.
Yeah.
if it was a big igloo, it was like a super igloo, you could just have your Thanksgiving in one of the igloos. There's an idea. But, because in my mind, like if I was a grandpa or something, listeners, I'd look at canceling as an extreme last resort, because I feel like with the type of year it's been and stuff, in a way, it's like we need each other. You know? And means a lot, like when you hear the grown-up kids talking to their parents, you hear the parents talking to the grandkids, the grandparents talking to the grandkids and uncles and all that. It's healthy. And of course, Dr. Fauci would probably be slamming me right now. But you just gotta be in wisdom. You can't let fear rule your life. You can't let fear steal your joy. I know, as people, we gotta work on this. Those of us who live in Michigan, we gotta work at this. Yes, if you're one of these people that own a restaurant, if you own a movie theater, if you own one of these laser tag centers, you own one of these trampoline parks, these other places. You know, you want to join in a proper way, and it's about your life livelihood. Go on, do it. But at the same time, can't let fear steal your life. Can't let the government steal your joy. You can't. You just can't do that. And there's a time to stand up. And I know what the Supreme Court of this state said. And I'm not going to spend all show on this kind of stuff. I'm not. I'm just taking these few minutes right now, especially on Monday, you know, like after it's been a few days, to kind of let you know kind of where we are on things. Because I think it's important that you understand. And so, you know, there are already members in the House are already suing our governor, you know, over the new 3-week thing, and the Department of Health and Human Services. And then there's also some members of the House that are ready to file articles of impeachment against our governor for the same thing. Because if the Supreme Court says, no, you cannot do this, then that means you can't do that. Apparently, she didn't hear or she didn't read that they also said, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, you also may not use the Department of Human Services for the same thing, that you have to work with the legislature on things like that. Apparently, she did not get that memo. So they're trying to file for impeachment. Now, if you live in Michigan, pray, and you know that God would put his hand on this, and we need to call the virus dead, and we need to take authority over the spirit of tyranny. And bind this demon, the spirit called stupid, because that's what this is. And people are not afraid of the virus to the same degree that they were in March. And I was around in my local area today, and in my city mall, it wasn't too much different, really, from what a regular Monday at this point would look like. It wasn't. And that was 2 days before a shutdown. Last time before the first shutdown, it was dead. Now, then at Walmart today, when I went, most of the food stuff was still there, but they were pretty much out of rice and they were out of toilet paper. Why are people only panic buying a select, like, three things? And not all the food this time. Why just to select three things?
Because it's like a long-lasting thing, and also it could even just be a seasonal thing.
Is that why they're not?
A lot of people stock up on like canned stuff and pasta and rice, because those are all dry foods or canned food lasts for a long time.
Is that why they're not just buying up everything like they did in March? That's why it's not like as why the hoard isn't quite the same.
Yeah.
As it was the first go around, and of course we understand this a lot more now.
Toilet paper. Everyone's always gonna need toilet paper.
And they might not, and they never all got a chance to fully recover it. I had thought Target did, and I looked in Target, and it was almost gone. Which, insult. And we just had a Costco open, too, so I don't know what the world that's about. But, so, needless to say, you know, we gotta walk in faith. We have to curse this virus, and pray that everything behind this is totally exposed and dealt with, and I know I've heard some things about two vaccines, 90% effective, the other 94% effective. Before I endorse any of these at all, I need to make sure that they're not the kind that's going to totally change your DNA to where it almost changes your mind, totally change your mind on everything and all that kind of stuff, which if it gets to where it totally changes your mind and neurologically in that, then there's issues involved, don't you think?
They're
trying to make it so that we're stronger against the virus, but they don't know that
that's what it's going to do. For all we know, just like give everybody like a 12
finger or something. So that's why And these are labeled as mRNA, both of them. Is that bad? Not is that bad necessarily, or is that what a lot of them are? Well, if I were your listeners, I would do research into it, as I'm going to do, because before I endorse either of these, one of these could get emergency approval before the end of November or in December. The other one, possibly the same thing. Before I endorse any of these, I need to make sure that it's actually going to be proper. If it's not, then I'm not going to endorse it. I hope that it is, and I think in the next few months, or hopefully sooner than that, prayerfully sooner than that, God's going to do some things regarding this virus. Things are going to be revealed. And I don't think COVID is going to be relevant for too much, for maybe a couple months, something, but we need to curse this thing. But, you know, but in the next, I would say, May, June, July at the latest, this won't be relevant. What?
I hope.
But I didn't say we wouldn't be locked out. I said it wouldn't be relevant anymore. It wouldn't be relevant to the same degree. Which there might be, you know, a pocket here where there's 30 cases, a pocket here where there's 20 cases. But by then, chances out with the vaccine and all that, we'd know a lot more how to deal with it. There might still be some, but we have to curse this thing, take authority of it over it every day at 12 noon, like I've told you. And I have that bold alarm on my phone that goes off. You know, the and it goes off and it lets me know and take authority over that thing. So the last thing I'm going to say is, if this goes a certain way and Biden gets in the White House, chances are there will be a lockdown. There have been one of his advisors has said that he would not advise a lockdown. Others have said, yes, there needs to be one. So, and he never said at his rallies that he would actually lock it down, but he had said, like, system of, you know, contact tracing, you know, vaccines. And if he gets in, the vaccine will be mandatory. That's one of the reasons we have to pray. Is I believe it needs to be personal. Whether you want the vaccine or whether you want the vaccine or do not want the vaccine. And so we have to pray, you have to believe God. But we also have to praise God for victory. If you want a breakthrough, you can't just you gotta be able to praise too. You can't just pray for your breakthrough. You gotta pray. I believe it. And so that's where we are on that. And now just taking a sip of my delicious vanilla Coca-Cola from Sonic Driving over there on Miller Road in Flint. But we're driving now, and that's why you hear all of this noise. So the plan for the rest of the night is we're going to sing a couple songs, and then after that, we're going to continue on in the Book of Revelation, and then we have some sports to talk about. And so that's what we got for tonight. We're going to sing a couple of songs first, and I'm going to Saturday was silent, surely it was true. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment, Sunday's empty too. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattled. This is the phrase, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. You're not gonna run out of miracles anytime soon. Resurrection power, running my face too. I believe there's another miracle here in this room. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out, I'm gonna live, cause I'm my bones rattling. Do you hear it? Just like the man who was lost, I'm in love with you. Just like the man who was wrong, the bones of Elijah happens when God says move. Just like the stone that was rolled at the tomb in the garden, what happens when God says to move? I feel him moving it now. I feel him doing it now. I feel him doing it now. Do it now. Do it now. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out, I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. I hear the sound. I hear the sound. I hear the sound. I hear the sound. And this is what it said. Live. Live. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Live. Live. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Live. Live. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Said, live. Live. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Said, live. Live.
this is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming up. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. So to a mighty wave and mighty wind. A mighty wave and a mighty wind. It's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. A mighty wave and a mighty wind. Coming from heaven, raising up his people again. A mighty wave and a mighty wind. It's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. A mighty wave and a mighty wind. It's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. A mighty rain and a mighty wind. It's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming up. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming up. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, open, coming up. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
God said live.
God said live.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that would ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. fear. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You can flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time, as we enter your word tonight, as we study your word and learn more about your ways, as we're dealing right now with the revelations, the things that you've revealed, all the things that we're dealing with in the book of Revelations, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that these people would have a heart, would have their mind, that their minds are receptive, that their ears are ready to hear the word of God, that they're ready to put the word of God to practice, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And I make my confession over this program, Lord God, that increases in listenership would come to this program, that finances would come to this program, that sponsors and partners would come in, and most importantly, Jesus, of all, I thank you, Father God, for huge amounts of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, if you would, to the book of Revelation chapter 10. Amen. Revelation chapter 10. And we're going to begin in verse 1. And let me just check the clock. And we'll study the word together for a little bit. Thank you, Lord. What would we do without the word? And I have now found my spot. I purposely moved a tad bit slowly. That way I couldn't just beat you all there. Because my pastor used to tease about that back in the day. And he used to say, and one time he teased, because someone said that they would have a certain verse he wanted them to go to before he was there. And he said, did you beat me or are you just confessing? And he said, we might have to go over some Bible turning grills. If you're not to Revelation 10, 1 by now, might as send you to New Convert School. All right. No, not there. Revelation 10, verse 1. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun. His legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll, which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. He gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down. Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven. And he swore to him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it. And he said, there will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished. Just as he announced to his servants, the prophets, then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take it, eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth, it will be as sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand, and I ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I eat it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. We're in chapter 11 now. Let's start verse 1. I was given a reed, like a measuring rod, and I was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar, and count the worshipers there, but exclude the outer court. Do not measure it, because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,240 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. These men have power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time that they are prophesying. And they have power to turn the waters into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. Now when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and will overpower and kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street with the great of the great city, which figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, which also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and will refuse them. They're very real. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sounding each other, by sending each other gifts because of the two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. But after the 3.5 days, breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud, while their enemies looked on. At that very hour, there was a severe earthquake, so the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe has passed. The third woe is coming soon. Verse 15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and you have begun to reign. The nations were angry and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dust and for harvesting your servants and prophets and your saints and those who reverence your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth." Then God's temple in heaven was open. And within his temple was seen, came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a great hailstorm. Yep. So we are now at my house, so I am just having to get Oh my goodness. I apologize for that, listeners. Getting myself together.
Go
inside my
weather update.
Oh, good. I hope it didn't keep snowing there and then quit as we came north. I hope not. Because you listeners could figure out that I prefer it more when it snows up in the north and not as much in the south. Okey-dokey, artichokey. Oh, they say okey-dokey, artichokey. So what we saw here was the other angels. The last couple of angels were sounding their trumpets, and as they did, the different signs would come out, and different things would happen, and of course, as we saw the previous time, there were two wolves. I mean, there's a total of three wolves. The first wolf happened, then the second wolf. Then there will be one more wolf. Where's my Coca-Cola?
Okay, just reach out for it.
And of course, it's like olden times where Coca-Cola is best soft drink anywhere, this time with vanilla in it. But of course, in heaven, the way I see it, we'll be drinking, it says living water, but I also know, I'm sure that they will be the most delicious Coca-Cola soft drink ever, with various flavors, and they'll be like sweet as honey, and it'll be so fizzy, but then what you saw and what we read is there was the two woes, and then the third woe is coming soon. Tomorrow night, we'll be dealing with the dragon and the mark of the beast. And this mark of the beast thing, you should not be here when the mark of the beast, because you'll have to have the mark of the beast in order to trade, buy, sell. This could be like a practice run for that. Hi, help! Right now, you got to wear a mask. You gotta wear a mask, however you say it, to go. I like to say it both ways. Sometimes I say mask, other times I say mask. Depends. But generally, if you want to go into a place right now, you're supposed to wear a mask. Like, want to go to the mall? Want to go to a restaurant? Want to go to Meijer, Walmart, Costco, Kroger, all these different stores. You're supposed to wear a mask. In this state, it's mandatory. Just like in a bunch of other states. Thankfully, some of the more conservative ones at this point are leaving it up to cities to decide, and counties, thankfully. Ultimately, I think it needs to be up to the business to decide. The business. But as you'll see tomorrow night, this whole thing with the virus and all this control, it's a practice run. Enough on that, but you'll see the angels with that last part of chapter 11 that we looked about, that we read on, and the angel said, "Come up here." That's talking to us. Because the Bible says that we will be, that the saints, they will be caught up together with him in the clouds. It also says the dead in Christ will rise first. That doesn't mean the people who played church didn't live right. Well, that has, no. That means those who died on the earth, they died before the rapture, like many people that, like some people that I know of, like the ones who died before me, died before the rapture, they will rise first. And then the rest of us will go up. And I'll be that trumpet, and I'll say, come up here. And you say, why did you say come up here, like all like thunderous like the first time? Because it'll be like that angel with that voice. When we have the speaking thunders and that. And then as a part of that, there was a lot of thunder, an earthquake, lightning, and a hailstorm. But then, prior to that, not necessarily prior to the come up here, but prior to the last two verses, there was a severe earthquake, and it was very severe. 7,000 people die. The rest of the people survive, but they become very, 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 very afraid. And listeners, I want you to understand that. This Revelation stuff that I read to you, that's not a horror movie. It's not one of these sci-fi books. It's not one of these things from the media. I wasn't going to say fake news because in 2004 we had that crazy earthquake in Asia. At the time, there was still some somewhat decent mainstream media. And then by that point, there was also some fake. And back then, they didn't have the fake news term yet. But something like the earthquake had happened now, it'd be like, oh, the fake news, da 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 da. And Dr. Buckley has this thing that he carries with him, made by his partly, I think it was something his daughter-in-law made, Trish. Yeah, his son's wife. And it showed that for the previous 20 years, every year there was something that was supposed to take us all out, so people thought. And one of the years, 2017, believe it or not, the thing that was supposed to take us all out, you're not going to believe it, the fake news. That's funny, isn't it? The next year, the caravan. Those Mexican caravans. And I used to say, I wish they were just caravans of like 5 buses of kids coming to the mall on the way back to Detroit or wherever from, you know, from a camp up north. Like that was, I used to wish it was just something fun like that, you know? You know, like where, but on like a bigger scale, because like that one time we were there, remember we waited for the buses, they didn't come. And then I was like, I'm done waiting. Remember?
Yeah.
Because the other group, the middle school group, had been there the previous Sunday when you weren't there, but like I said, listeners, and then of course last year it was something else, and going over this year they said it was the Rona, and then 1 year it was West Nile, another new it was H1N1, or as Joe Biden has said it many times, N1H1. 2002 it was West Nile virus. I might have said that one already. Next year it was the SARS virus. It bird flu, avian flu. Might be the same one. Was bird the same as avian, or was that different? But you remember hearing the names of both of them. You don't know if they're the same thing or not.
Right.
But then there was, every year, listeners, every year, it's been something the last 20 years. And these doomsdayers like to say, this is going to kill us all. And we're not dead. But every year it's just always been something, and they always say that'll be what. The truth of the matter is, folks, the rapture is going to happen when God says it's going to happen. He's not going to tell us. He's not going to email us, come out with a new Bible, a new anything, and tell us, well, folks, in about 2 weeks, I'm going to have the rapture. About 2 weeks on this certain date, at this certain time, we're going to have the trumpet sound. The trumpet is going to sound, the voice of the archangel, and I'll have the shout, like it's in the Bible. Yeah, he knew that, like it's in my word. And it'll be in 2 weeks. And Christians, I want you to look good and be ready. And remember to, if you haven't led anyone to me in a while, lead someone to me, get them right with me so they can come with me. No, he's not going to do that. Jesus said, we do not know the day or the hour. He knows, not us. It'll be a day and an hour that we don't expect him. That doesn't mean that it'll be a time with no chaos. That just means it'll be a time that we don't expect it. And the other night, Pastor taught on the excuses. You know, the wedding, bottom line, and that kind of stuff. You know, from the Bible. And about the day of Noah, the day of Lot, and how in Luke it talks about both of those. And in both cases, buying, selling, planting, building, eating, drinking, doing the things people do. You know, and even in Sodom and Gomorrah, people were the day that fire destroyed them all. People were going off for the day of pleasure. The husbands were going to go deer hunting. All the wives were gathered together to go to the. To go to the outlet, or go to. You know, after they dropped the kids off at school or whatever, they were on their way to. Some of them were on their way to go to the outlet or to Burlington or Macy's or whatever to go buy their, go shopping or wherever else they were on their way to go. And the fire came and destroyed them all. And Abraham had said, if you found 50 people that are righteous, will you destroy it? Then he says, what about 45? What about 40? What about 30? What about 20? And he says, finally, God, don't get mad at me, Lord. He says, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. It was not 10. And it was a nice day outside. And people were having breakfast with their wives. They were just getting ready to go. They had their, you know, they're just getting ready to go. They had their orange juice, coffee, the different brands. Some maybe had some McCafe, others Starbucks, others just made their own, had their own total coffee makers. They're just sitting there, you know, drinking, laughing. And fire came and destroyed them all. And folks, you can't make this stuff up. It's real. We're in the last of the last of the last of the last of the last days. And things that we've seen this year, even with the amount of tropical storms and hurricanes, and really a big hurricane force wind type event in Iowa, two earthquakes in Michigan, two, other things, other places, the fires out west, that it takes longer now to get them, to put them out than they used to. And the science people try to say, oh, it's global warming. What they need to realize is it's called the last of the last days. In the last of the last days, things will happen. And the Bible talks about the various things. There'll be famines and pestilences in various places. and the different things that will happen. And you say, what do you mean pestilence? Well, an example of pestilence could be COVID. Or as I have liked to call it, because of the phenomena that I've seen in the grocery stores and other stores at times over the last 8 months, COVID. Because my phone is saying COVID-19, it used to say COVID-19. I wish it still did. Sadly, now it says it right. I wish it just said COVID, because it sounds so much like COVID. And there's a verse that says, thou shalt not covet. In Exodus, listeners, if you're listening, that also includes toilet paper. And some of you who have went in there and snatched the toilet paper in the last week or two, not stolen necessarily, but maybe grabbed a bit too much, they'd put it. Are you giving that as a Christmas present? Are you? And in heaven, I hope that years from now, when we're in heaven, or during the 1,000-year reign, when we mention the toilet paper and the other thing and stuff like that, or people as we're talking to them about the Lord and stuff in heaven or during the 1,000-year reign, if we by chance mention the toilet paper, I would hope that they would laugh. Because sometimes it's so crazy that it's funny. But it's real. You know, the toilet paper thing. But really, folks, it's supposed to show you, folks, we're in the last of the last days. We're getting close. Very close. Closer than we've ever been. East and the Middle East. That's a sign. Because most of my lifetime, there was conflict in the Middle East, and we were involved in some of that here in America. The Gulf War in the early 1990s, which I didn't know about at the time because I was a little boy. And then the other big one in the War on Terror and the Iraq War, 2003, which was the big part of that was 2003. And he talks about the various events and that, and we're getting close, folks. And it's important to make sure that you know, that your family knows that you're a Christian. And let me be honest with you, listeners. If your family does not know that you're a Christian, then you got issues. I'm serious. You need to be a better witness. Now, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for this great evening. Thank you for all these listeners. Thank you for this word tonight, Lord God. I thank you that these listeners would take this word to heart, that they would go and win souls for you, Jesus. This is the last of the last days. I thank you that if there's anyone listening who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, may they get a hold of me. Give their lives to you, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. And I give you praise and honor and glory for this word tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Let's talk about the football from this weekend. and I'll start with college football. First off, Michigan struggled against Wisconsin as they fall 30-10. Michigan, at times over the last 3 weeks, has almost looked like they didn't want to be on the field. That's how bad it's been. And now it's looking like they can just about forget about beating that team to the south in December on the 14th. Excuse me, on the the 12th of December. If they want to beat that team to the south, they have to work very hard, win all of these next few games against Penn State, who's not doing good, and these other teams. State, they had another crippling loss as they lost to Indiana, 24-0. First time that they were shut out at home since 1987. So college football is not going so well in Michigan. Midland versus Traverse City Central. Friday night, the game took place. And the first quarter, no score. And it seemed like for the first quarter, all of it pretty much seemed like, okay, we got a game that can go either way. Second quarter, Traverse City scores. Midland scores after. And then they score again. They score again. They score again. 14-7. Then they make it interesting. But then at one point, we score again, and then one of the players, Midland's not even ready. And the rest of their offense isn't necessarily ready. But one of the guys with the ball, running back, sprints down the field. No one's even ready. And they count it as a touchdown, the officials do. And then the whole stadium's booing. I wasn't there. I didn't have tickets. But the whole stadium was booing. And that was crazy that they called that a touchdown. And no one else could see it coming. And then Midland tried to work their way back in it, got a touchdown, but was a 2-point conversion, but it turned out not to be enough as Midland falls 30-22. Their season ends at 8-1. Traverse City's Central season is now paused at 8-1 also because they have suspended football for the next 3 weeks. The one bright spot about this, about my losing, is just that we know we're done either way because Had Midland won, that would have been extremely disappointed to possibly not get to play the next game. And somehow, maybe it was how they were in the spot, were seated in the press box, but somehow was able to hear the band pretty good based on it. I would turn it up a bit so I could try to hear it, like to see if the band was there and playing, and could still hear it at least for the most part. And pulled out, so I figured unless I was there, I wasn't going to open the window or anything to see if I could hear it. But I have to say, hats off with the band, to the band and the cheerleaders and even the football team, Midland High football team especially. Hats off to Midland for finishing the regular season 6-0. And then winning the two playoff games after that that they won. And then week 9 they lose. Generally, history has shown us since 1994, Midland tends to go undefeated every 9 seasons. So they went undefeated a few times, like 3 or 4 different times in the 80s, but including 94, they went undefeated in 94, 2003, 2012, 2020. They could have went undefeated last year, but then they lost to Dow. 2 undefeated regular seasons in a row, though, that would have been something special. And I remember in 2012, talking even to a few people, a couple people who have followed it for the years, even a couple who were still there as students at the time who had just graduated. And I remember asking them, like, do you think this is the best Division II football student, Friday night student experience in Michigan Division II? And they said, maybe. And I said, yeah, when you look at the record, undefeated. When you look at the band, and then you have the, how good they are in that, and then you have the awesome student section. You have, at that point, Midland had winning seasons 36 consecutive years, including 2012. And that was the year they started the big I Believe chant. And some of these people, and I'm like all three of those people that I had asked that to if they thought was the best in the state, Division II, they said, we think so. Now, 2013, Midland played Muskegon. I went to that Midland-Muskegon game in the playoffs. And didn't seem to me that Muskegon had the same spirit that Midland did. Muskegon's band wasn't even there. But then again, I was sitting with Midland people. But, however, they don't have it set up in that stadium so that one side is across the field from the other when it comes to the bleachers. If they did, maybe it would have been easier to notice. But it didn't seem like they had the same, as Midland. So it probably depends on the school. And it's good that they teach the kids great sportsmanship because win or lose, sportsmanship is important. And if you're going to lose, you want to lose gracefully. There's a right way to lose. But there's also a wrong way to lose. Have you ever heard of that, Megan, losing gracefully?
No.
But what I mean is, you got to be a good sport.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and not just be like, oh, mad you lost it, you can't just, and you got to be good. Don't try to play dirty. And I remember the previous Midland-Muskegon game, the previous year, regionals, 2012, at Midland Stadium. The Muskegon cheerleaders came and did one of their cheers right in front of Millen High student section. I heard it. The kids booed him, as did I. That's not cool that the Muskegon, that those shows did that, is it? They tried to do theirs like right in our right in the student, almost in the face of most of the middle student section. Isn't that pretty wild?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, and then it turned out that there was, it seemed like there was some dirty play going on the from Muskegon players. By dirty play, I'm not like some things that they should be penalized for and they weren't. Usually at Midland, that I know, they've always tried to play clean. But the thing that hindered Midland Friday night was two interceptions. One of them almost got turned back 98 yards for a touchdown. But thankfully, there was a penalty on Traverse City. They ended up scoring a little bit later, but it was not an immediate touchdown with a 98-yard return like that, because that would have been miserable. And then, lastly, the Lions win 30-27 over the Washington football team on a last-second field goal from Prater. So, of my predictions, I was 3-1. And the one I got wrong was I predicted the Lions would lose again, but they actually won again. But I did figure Midland would probably, unfortunately, lose. I figured Michigan would lose, sadly. I figured State would lose. They all did. So for Michigan, I am now 2-2 with Michigan, 2-2 with State. With Midland, I was undefeated. With Dow, my picks were undefeated because everything I thought they would do, they did. Lions could be better. Until next time, God first. God always. So long, everybody.